Wow. Is that wonderful? Patty, thank you so much for leading us in that. Leaving us your spirit until the work on earth is done. Aren't you glad we don't have to do the work? He's left the spirit with us. Thank you so much. This morning I'd like to direct us to Acts 1:8. But you will receive that spirit, the power of you will receive that power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses of me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. I love that verse. It's the Lord's last command. I don't want your Bible. Can you imagine someone would say that? We were handing Bibles out in Brazil, and a college student came up and took the Bible. He said, this is what I think of your Bible. And he took, it wasn't one of these, it was a New Testament. Took a little New Testament, and he turned and he threw it as high and as hard as he could. Actually, he threw it up on the roof. And then he stormed off. Well, that's not a typical response when we hand out Bibles. Usually people are glad to have them, or they choose not to have them. But we know that the Lord, he promises us in Isaiah 55:11, one of the gentlemen already mentioned it this morning, he promises us that so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth, that it will not return empty, but it will accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. We have stories about Bibles. There was a guy in prison in Louisiana. I don't know why he didn't get a Bible, but he didn't. But there was a prisoner that got a Bible that didn't want his, and he threw it away in the garbage can, and this guy went through the garbage, and he got that Bible out. And that was through that Bible that he came to know the Lord. And Dean Mattern, he's from California. He was traveling as a young man with his girlfriend across the country. He thought that California wasn't far enough to go, so he figured he had to go the other way. So he was going to Florida to try to find out the meaning of life. And he was carrying drugs and got involved in a bunch of stuff about when he hit Alabama, and so wound up being put in jail in Alabama. And so he got him a testament while he was there. But he used his testament, though. He would tear the pages out and roll his cigarettes with it. But by the time he got to the Gospel of John, he came to a saving knowledge of Christ. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Because the Lord, he means what he says. When he says when his word goes out, it will not return void. And we just see things like that happening all the time. And we're confident that the Lord will use these Bibles as they go out and his word for his glory. But can you imagine coming to know Christ by reading your rolling papers? I mean, really, only you know, just amazing. Well, the Gideons are a group of business people, and we work with our wives to reach the world for Christ. Now, I know we're known as the Bible guys, and we do Bibles, but our primary concern is making the gospel available to men and women and boys and girls all over the world. And evangelism is a huge part of our ministry, and it's you know, being able to share our faith is something that is a big part of what we do. We meet on Saturday mornings. We encourage one another. We say, hey, did you share your faith? We call them personal witness testaments, and we share them out. And, you know, and so we encourage one another to share our faith, and that's part of the ministry. I do like Acts 1:8 because it is the Lord's last command. And when I was working with a guy in Africa, he kept saying, his last command is my first duty. His last command is my first duty. And he must have been a military guy, but he knew that if the Lord's last command was to go and share with the world this saving knowledge of Christ, that was something that we needed to take for granted, seriously. I know when I came to Christ, came to Christ in 2003, and you know how when you're reading the Bible, when the Lord just opens it up for you and the Holy Spirit just makes it a rich experience? And so that was happening, and I was working at home, and I was able to spend a lot of time in the Word, and it was wonderful. A couple of months later, I guess, and I had to get back on the road, and I was heading out, and I always throw my clothes together, my work stuff together, and I'd hit the road. Well, I got about an hour from where I needed to be, or less than that, and I realized I did not pack my Bible. And I was frustrated because now I'm thinking, okay, I want to get to the hotel. I was going to try, how can I find a 24-hour Walmart and get a paperback Bible so they can have my devotions? And then I realized, you know what? I bet you there's going to be a Bible at the hotel when I get there. And sure enough, there it was at the Hampton Inn there in Spartanburg, and I got my Bible, and I used that Bible for the whole time I was on the road. And that was important to me because it was just so important that I had a Bible that I could use, and so that the Gideons were there for me. A couple weeks later, I was in a hospital next to where we live, and it said down in the basement on Saturdays, the Gideons have a prayer time. And I thought, well, man, I'm going to drop in and just, tell those guys, thanks for having those Bibles there. And so I did, and they were eating eggs and grits, and that's one of my favorite meals of the day. And so they said, join me. And so I did. And so I got an opportunity to get to meet them and thank them for putting those Bibles there. And it's groups like you that bought the Bibles that they were able to place in all these places around the world and in the hotel room in Spartanburg. And I appreciate having that Bible available. I was hanging out with those guys, though, and finally, after 3 years of eating breakfast with them every Saturday morning, they finally said, hey, you can't eat breakfast with us anymore unless you join the Gideons. And so I finally joined. But it's been a blessing to me. As a Gideon, one of the things that was really interesting was I told my pastor one time, I really had no official kind of discipleship program. But he preached through Romans one summer. Well, actually, it took him a year to preach through. It took him 10 months. And that sermon series in Romans really helped me get close to the Lord. And I see that as one of my big discipleship things. But one of the holes in that, well, no dig at anything else, is that no one was really teaching me how to share my faith or to be evangelistic in where I'm at work, And so the Gideons was that those guys helped me do that, and I'm still fumble for words when I'm trying to share my faith, but it's just such a big piece of being able to fill in what I need to do in my pursuit and walk with Christ. And then Debbie and I, once we got into it, I never realized how Gideons were not just the hotel Bible guys, Do you have any idea how many Bibles we gave out last year? Just think of a number in your head. Now, last year we gave out 67 million. I don't know if your number was higher or lower than that. But there was a period of time when we were up in the 80 and 90 millions. But COVID was kind of a crazy year and our numbers were down. But if you think about those many Bibles out, and only 10 million of them were here in the United States. The other, 57 million were around the world. And so when Debbie and I, we like to, our church ministers in Africa, and to go over there and to be able to see how missional the Gideon's ministry is, was a huge encouragement to us. So for personal evangelism, and then now we realize how big missions are within the Gideons, was just really fit us and was able to be a great part of our ministry together. So, one Bible. What could one Bible do? Now, you know what? I'm not driving my car today, so I don't have a PWT. But you got one? Yeah, okay. So this thing costs us a dollar and a quarter, okay? And we hand these out around the world. Now, you get the full Bible if you're, in a hotel, or we put full Bibles in prisons. But these are, we hand these out a lot. And so the different places we hand them out... Missions was really huge for me, that, like I said. But there was a guy that got one of these in the Philippines, and he came to know the Lord and decided to have a little Bible study in his house. Well, you know, no one's going to come to a Bible study, but you know what? He made his boys come. He made his kids come, and if they had nephews and cousins or whatever, they had to be there. So they had a family Bible study there. Well, over a period of years, all five of his boys came to Christ and became pastors. And then the next generation, there were 10 family members that became pastors or song leaders or whatever it might be. But within three generations, that one testament through that one man's family wound up reaching so many people for Christ. It's amazing. You know how many churches were planted out of that? 600. Can you imagine one Bible didn't lead one person to the Lord? But even if that's all it was, that was worth that. But one Bible was responsible for a church planting movement in the Philippines of over 600 churches. You can do the math. I don't know how many people are in each church, but it's a huge, huge thing that the Holy Spirit did just for one Bible. I already told you my story about the hotel Bible, how important it was to me. There was a guy in California. He was a pastor's son. And Ryan Rees, I don't know if some of the young people heard of him, but Ryan Rees is a skateboarder, kind of a musician. And so he used to tour with all the rock bands and hip-hop bands and all that kind of stuff. But you know how when you get off the rails and you realize that all of that success, there's an emptiness there. And so he got so wound up in drugs and alcohol because it was so available. And on the third time he wound up having an OD, he was somewhere in South America. When he got out of it and got his head clear, he just said, "Lord, if you're really real, now's the time for you to show up." And he prayed a frank prayer, like, you know. And so I guess that night when he went back to his hotel room, he dug that Bible out of that drawer, and he said, "I stole the Bible and I took it with me." So when we got on the plane to come back to the United States, I read through that Bible. He said the plane ride was 6 hours long. He said, "I'm sitting on the plane and all the TV crews and all the band and everybody's, you know, looking at, what is he doing reading the Bible?" He said, "I read the Bible for 6 hours and I know it was the DNA of Jesus Christ. And when I got to the airport in Los Angeles, I knew he was my Savior." And he pastors to young people, not pastors, but he ministers to young people with a skateboard apparatus. He brings musicians, and he has an interesting ministry. But it was the somebody that put that Bible in that hotel room down in Panama that was able to minister to him. He said, "Man," he said, "I wish I know who the guy was that paid for that Bible and that put that Bible in the hotel room." He said, "I'd go up to him and I'd tell him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant.'" Change that guy's life. And then all the young people's lives are being changed through his ministry. That's powerful. Just as an aside, I mean, this guy's a pastor's son. He grew up in the church. Can you imagine that? I'm the same way. I grew up in the church. I was in church, three or four times a week since I was born. I was still kind of shocked to me how I could be around Christians for 39 years and miss Christ. But I did. But thanks to the Lord and the move of the Holy Spirit, he allowed me to see him. And same thing with this Ryan Rees. It's just that, you know, you guys put Bibles in the places where we needed them. And we thank you. We also hand these out at Fort Jackson and all the other places. If you're in the military, you probably got one when you came through boot camp. We're doing that, and we still do that. COVID kind of backed that off a little bit, but we hand a lot of Bibles out, not only to our soldiers, but soldiers around the world. One of the guys that got a Bible, he said, "I keep it in my right." Oh, sorry about that. Thank you, man. I told you couldn't keep me from messing that up. He keeps his Bible in his pocket over his heart so he can keep it close. And so he said, "Man, I was in Afghanistan, and we were heading down the road, And somebody, oh, I had my my translator next to me in the Jeep, and somebody had shot an RPG at him. And so here it was, an RPG was coming right towards him. And he said, "Oh, Jesus, help me." Just, you know how you will say that, just, and he probably wasn't thinking about that, he was praying like that, but he said, "Oh, Jesus, help me." And do you know that RPG was bearing right on in, and at the last moment, it lifted up and went straight up over that Jeep. And the Afghani guy was sitting next to him. He says, "Hey, what was that thing you just said before that thing went over our head?" He goes, "Well, I follow Christ, Jesus." He goes, "Oh, man." And so anyway, he had an opportunity to share with him about Christ because he just saw how he was being taken care of by the Lord in combat. And so he gave that guy his testament that he got at boot camp. And so for the rest of the time he was over there, this guy, when they get through at night, was sitting over there by himself reading the Bible aloud to about like 5 or 10 other Muslim Afghanis who had never heard the gospel of Christ. Can you imagine that? And so putting that Bible in that place was just, you know, it's just amazing how the Lord uses these testaments in ways you can't even predict. It's just an amazing. So not only do that, but we also, you guys know, we put them in schools. For $55, you can buy enough of these to put in a whole classroom for a bunch of kids. Now, the classrooms that we're putting them in, you know, unfortunately aren't here. They're overseas, you know. We have open doors to bring Bibles in to share with the kids. And I know that we had a bunch of Bibles we brought in recently overseas, and they had, it was hundreds and thousands of Bibles, and they stacked them in a room for the school. And they were going to bring in a bunch of Gideon guys to hand them out to all the kids. Well, the principal said, "Hey, you can't leave them Bibles in there." He said, you got to give these kids these Bibles. They can't wait a week. And we're usually, you know, a Gideon has to hand out a Bible. But those guys handed those Bibles out to make sure every kid got one. And they could not wait a week. That's how hungry they are for the Word of God. And then over here, we can't, you know, we can't get into to the schools and share them with our own people. We do have, I don't know if you've familiar with these or not, but I don't know if you've seen these before. It's called the Life Book. Life Book is a, it's the book of Mark. And we kind of did it and tweaked it up a little bit. It doesn't look like a Bible. We don't even call it the Bible, but we just call it the Life Book. But, you know, we can't take Bibles into the schools, but the students can. So we give these free to all of our churches that want them, and we'll give up to like 2,000 to a church. So, but you can take these life books in, and the kids can take them in for us since we can't take them. But that's kind of a workaround that we've got in the United States to kind of deal with the fact that we can't get into a lot of the elementary schools. We're still doing some because there are some principals that'll they'll stand up and say, "Hey, yeah, bring them on," but it's getting harder and harder all the time. You know, we were at USC last week. So we do distributions on campus. And those are getting a little bit, you know, a lot of students are you know, just not receptive to that. But we do. We'll get on the sidewalk and we'll hand them out. And so we've done that recently with the Bibles that you make us available. I don't know. I don't know if you use it. Do you use the Bible app? You guys use the Bible app? I do too. The YouVersion, I don't know if you've heard of the YouVersion Bible. Some of you might have, but the YouVersion Bible is probably the most used Bible app in the world right now. But Craig Groeschel, he was a tennis player in college. He got him a scholarship at a church college somewhere in Oklahoma. Well, he could play good tennis, but he also could party a lot. And so he was getting ready to lose his scholarship, and they were going to kick him out. And Craig went to the administration and said, "Listen, if y'all let me stay, I'll even put together a Bible study if y'all let me stay." So they did, and they worked it out. So here's Craig Groeschel. He doesn't know anything about the Bible or Christ or whatever, and he's going to his first Bible study on campus. You know what he realized? I don't have a Bible. He's going to this fake Bible study and he doesn't even have a Bible. But does, you know who he runs into? Gideon. Gideon gives him a green Bible on the one day that he had to go do this fake Bible study. So he took that Bible and went in, and after a while, that fake Bible study became a real Bible study. They actually like started cracking that Bible open and reading it, and he came to know Christ. Isn't that something? And he attributes the fact that the Lord put that Bible in his way when he was trying to like keep from getting kicked out of college. But that was Craig Grossell. And now he's a pastor of probably the largest church in the United States, but their church is the one that developed the YouVersion Bible. So and if you think about Bible apps, that's a good one to have. But Gideon's has a Bible app. We have one as well. So not only do we print Bibles, but we have digital Bibles available as well. We also go to prison. We're in prisons a lot. And sharing the Bible. What we do is, well, we take hotel Bibles that have run their life, you know, we'll tear off the covers and then put a paper cover on them, and then that's what we take into the prisons. So we'll wear those Bibles out. If you buy them, we'll put them into use. And so they'll have a lifespan in the hotels, and then they'll have another lifespan in the prisons. There was a guy's name was Pat. He's in Alabama. And he was 6 years old, and he said, what can I do to make my daddy happy? So he went in his kitchen, and he got a beer out of the refrigerator, but he couldn't open the beer. So he went into the silverware drawer and got himself a spoon and took a spoon and popped that beer up open, and he took it into his dad. To just show how much he loved his dad. And his dad said, well, son, you opened it, you drink it. And he said that was the first time I ever got drunk. He was six. Can you imagine that? And so he got all into drugs and alcohol, and he was running, selling drugs, and he just had a really, really tough life. Obviously, he would have in a situation like that. So here he is. He finally gets in prison, and a Gideon came in one day and told the guy, he said, man, he said, I love you. God loves you too. And he said, you don't know me, man. You can't love me, and I know God don't love me. But that guy kept coming back and sharing stories with Pat, and he left him a Bible. And over time, he came to know Christ. Pat was able to get out of prison, and he said, man, Lord, I ain't ever coming back here. But a year later, there he was back in prison. The Lord had called him into full-time ministry, and he's a prison minister there now. Minister in the prisons. And through his ministry, he's seen 800 men come to know Christ. And it's just amazing to see what the Lord has done through that Bible and through that testimony that guy gave him while he was in prison. I like that thing that Pat said. He said, somebody loved me enough to tell me about Christ. And that's kind of where I'd like to shift a little bit. We've been talking about what Gideons do with the Bibles and how the Bibles that you buy and provide, how the Lord uses them in supernatural ways. But the other part of that is sharing our faith and being able to tell others about that saving knowledge of Christ. Now, if you're in the Gideons, you know we do this kind of stuff all the time. We for our prayer times and when we go out and minister and we teach each other and we have trainings. But during COVID, what happened was that we realized that, hey, there may be some churches and stuff that maybe want to take advantage of the tools that we use for reaching out to others. So what Gideons have come up with this past year it's called Conversations, and it's a training on how to have a conversational talk with someone that's, you know, not threatening. Is not threatening, but a way to talk to others and help them have a saving knowledge of Christ. So Conversations is something that we're starting new, and one of the founding verses or what we use for is Matthew 4:19. It says, Jesus says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Now, with that said, what is the chief aim of mankind? I heard it. Glory to God. Yeah, thank you. Amen. To bring glory to God and to enjoy Him forever. Amen. Well, Acts 1:8. Let me read that again. Well, Christ tells us to go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, telling him about how to be restored to God, right? We talked about his last command is our first duty, right? When I heard that, I was thinking to myself, what's the first command? What was God's first command? What was it? Love the Lord. That was one of the first commandments that Moses gave us. Exactly right. But what about the first one? All right, let me read it. Debbie found it for me when we were driving over. In Genesis 9:7, as for you, be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply in it. So, the first command is to multiply. What are we multiplying? We're multiplying God praisers. If the chief aim of men is to glorify God, God wants more people to be able to glorify Him. It wasn't till chapter 12, right, when the fall of man came. All these people that were coming into the world, He was multiplying the people that were going to be God praisers. So it's interesting to me. The first command is that He wanted us to multiply so that we could have more God praisers. And then the last command, Jesus wants us to multiply so that we can have more God praisers. Isn't that something? It's the same command. One is a physical one before the fall, and then after the fall, Christ had to come and made the same command, but it's a spiritual command that we must multiply. We must multiply. So when the Lord says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men, He's not just saying, that would be a great idea if we did it. The imperative is that we must multiply. You know, we can come to Christ and grow deeper in our love for Him, and that's wonderful. We need to add to the kingdom, but we're not called just to add to the kingdom, but we're called to multiply. And so how can we multiply? You know, pastors can't do it. They're not going to meet the people that we meet in where we work or in our families or in our neighborhood. So it's all of us are called to be fishers of men. You know, a couple months ago, our neighborhood had a fire. It was raining, cats and dogs, and a bolt of lightning came down and just struck the house. And it didn't take long at all. And I think it hit like one of the main gas mains or whatever. So it did not just sit there and burn a little bit. It went to the ground fast. They were lucky to get out with their lives, much less anything they wanted to collect, right? But when we found out about it the next day, because it was in the cul-de-sac, about three cul-de-sacs over, we weren't even aware of it. It happened in the middle of the night. They had a tent in the neighbor's room or yard the next day, and there were like four families in there, and they were all eating barbecue and all that. And I found out that in the middle of the night, these four families came over and helped these folks. They put them in their rooms and let them sleep out the night. They gave them clothes and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, those four families weren't going to just sit and let that family's house burn down, were they? They were going to come and they were going to help them. And it made me think about how many relatives and nieces and nephews and sons and daughters, or how many neighbors do we have, or how many friends at home, their spiritual houses are burning down. And I felt like that, shoot, that was a great illustration of that neighborhood taking care of that family that lost their home. Well, we have that same opportunity to deal with we have so many people that need the Lord. Some of them don't even know they need the Lord. But we have the keys to the kingdom, and we have an opportunity and an obligation to help them unlock the door to Christ, don't we? So how do you do that? Well, let me give you a couple things. One is, if you would take this challenge, pray for somebody to have a spiritual conversation with, okay? And then be prepared to share your story. So, and that might be take a minute. You may want to think about, oh my gosh, I need to sit down and write down how the Lord has really impacted my life. And then once you get the opportunity to share your story, then a lot of times you get to share his story. So pray for someone to share your story. Have an idea of what your story is, and if they allow you to share his story. And I just wanted to kind of give you a couple things here on sharing his story. Debbie and I mentioned that we will go to Africa, and a lot of times they don't even have enough money to have a Bible over there. So many times they don't have Bibles. So what they do over there is back in the early days, we didn't have our Bibles, you know. We didn't have Bibles till 500 or 600 or this 1600s or 1500s. So before that, everybody told stories. So that's what we did in Africa, is we tell story. And so that was how we would, you know, share the Bible. We'd tell them a Bible story. It's kind of like, you know, back for us when we were, you know, working with younger children, but it's super effective. But a good story, and we could still use it here, is a prodigal son. We would tell the story of the prodigal son. So what's the big deal about the prodigal son? Remember the story? Yeah, we think about the son. But the biggest deal about that story is the forgiving father, right? And so when you tell that story, you explain to the folks about, well, you know, that son, that's me. And that's you. We've kind of like run away from our father, but we have a forgiving father that wants us to return. And then you just ask the question, have you ever returned to the Father? And then they say, oh, no. Well, do you want to? And so that's the kind of like, you know, the things that we can say to start a spiritual conversation to be able to, if we get the opportunity to share our story, then we can maybe share his story. Just tell the prodigal son. And then ask him, have you returned to the Father? And it's a non-threatening question. But it also gets straight to the heart of the matter. Do they have a relationship with Christ? Debbie works with a guy. He's a wonderful teacher, but he's got this thing set up where he talks about John 3:16, and he talks about how there's a bridge between us and Christ, and he explains that we're on one side and he's on the other, and Christ is the bridge. And so what his big question is when he gets to explaining John 3:16 is that, have you ever crossed over? Well, do you want to cross over? I can help you how to cross over to Christ. And so it's a non-threatening question, but those are the kinds of things that if we have those lines to share with people to ask them about a spiritual state would help us when we share our faith. The other day, I was talking to a guy, because I work in hospitals and stuff, and when I see the ambulances and stuff, you've seen that emblem for the EMTs? You know what that is? A stake with a snake around it. Have you seen that? It's like you'll have the that thing goes straight back to the Old Testament. And I told some guy, I said, you know what that means? He said, no. I said, there's about 1 million people out in the desert and they were getting bit by snakes and they were dying. So what they did is they took a bronze pole and put a snake on it and they covered that in bronze and they stuck it out there. And so if somebody got sick, they could stick their head out the tent and look at it. Oh my goodness, I saw it. So they would look and they would live because they saw the snake on a stick. You know? And then, you know where that's found in the New Testament? I didn't know until I looked it up. John 3, 14 and 15. Because Jesus uses the same thing. If you lift me up and see me, then you will live. And I thought, wow, isn't that cool? The two verses before the biggie, right? John 3, 16. So what a way to share John 3, 16 is to tell that story about the logo that you see on all these ambulances and stuff. You know, so that's just another opportunity or another way. And seeing, you'll find your own way. If you're a farmer, you'll find a way. If you're a lawyer, you'll find a way. There are so many ways to find spiritual connections with folks that I encourage you to find yours. So my challenge is, pray for someone to share a spiritual conversation with. Define your story so that you can share that, to get permission to share his story. And his story will be a line that I'm sure that you'll be able to find in your line of work or whether it's your family or wherever it may be. Oh, I do have to tell one more story before I go on. I went to get my mom the other day. We brought her from Mississippi over here for Easter, and we stopped at Waffle House. Got some breakfast, and there was a lady, man, she was banging out pancakes and eggs and all that kind of good stuff. She said, okay, you ready to go? And I was checking out at the register, and I had three guys behind me. And I said, yeah, man, I'm ready to go. And something was said by Easter, by somebody there in the restaurant. And I said, oh, yeah, did you have a good Easter? She goes, oh, yeah, yeah. She goes, Jesus is the Savior of the world. He'll save you, too, if you'll accept him. And then she rung me up, handed me my thing, and said, all right, you're next. And by the time I got my receipt and my credit card back in I was right at those glass doors, I said, whoa, that gal just shared the gospel with me in less than 5 seconds. Do you think I could do that? I fumble for words to say. The only reason I tell you that story is to encourage you. Don't make it more complicated than it is. I don't know how many people she said that to that day, but I'm telling you, it's 2 weeks later, and I'm telling you how much of an impact and what the Holy Spirit did with that quick note. So, back to the Gideons. How can you be a part of the Gideons? Well, you can be a prayer partner for us. Everything hinges on prayer. You know, if we're not connected to the vine, everything we do is for nothing. So if you would be a friend of the Gideon, and Harry, he'll help you get connected for that. But Friends of Gideons will give you information on how to pray for the ministry. You can buy Bibles. You can buy Bibles today if you want, or if you can buy Bibles throughout the year through the card program. We have a wonderful program there. Or we certainly do invite you to come. Excuse me, and join us. And if you have an interest, certainly talk to me or Maxie or Harry or whomever. But we certainly would be glad to tell you more about the Gideon's ministry. We do want to thank you, though, for your support of the ministry, because we don't buy these Bibles that we're handing out. We have a different program that we do that in. It's called Faith Fund. But these Bibles that you give, it 100% goes to buying Bibles and placing them. And so it's your support that makes all these wonderful things happen. I mentioned just earlier about how when we were in Brazil handing out the Bibles, at the end of the day, Luis came up to the table and he was covered with tar and soot. And he said, guys, he said, today, I've had a tough day today. He said, I've decided that with all the things that are going on in my life today, I was going to end my life. He said, I was working, and man, I saw my moment. I was getting ready to jump off the roof and kill myself when God hit me in the back of the head with this Bible. Can you imagine that? We serve a mighty God And I'm not saying that the Bibles that you buy today, somebody's going to get hit in the head and come to know Christ. I'm not saying it'll start a church planting movement in the Philippines, and I'm not saying that it'll start some guy with a new digital version. But I can tell you this, he promises that when his word goes out, he'll use it for his effectiveness. It won't come back for nothing. Amen? Amen. If you would come forward and we'll go ahead and... I love this song. We're going to sing Wonderful Words of Life. Can you imagine that? That's a great song to be singing about, talking about the scripture. So that's in page 177.